We used to hear a lot less about our health in the popular media. Maybe that's because the time and space were taken up with ads for cigarettes. What a difference 4 decades makes. Now we're inundated with ideas on how to get in shape, eat right, and otherwise take care of ourselves. Today's guest has his own take on health in his book, Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. It is by Rob Pell, who is the co-founder of the Five Seasons Restaurant at Boston, named the best vegetarian restaurant at Boston a few years ago. He and his wife, Kate, now own and operate Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass. Rob writes health and wellness columns for print and online media, and he's in the studio with me. You can check out his picture on Facebook. Rob, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeffrey.
So, I mean, there is a pretty fair amount of stuff out there. So why write this book? What did you hope to be offering that you weren't seeing in other publications?
Well, virtually every chapter in Wellness Uprising discusses the effectiveness and possible side effects of many of Big Pharma's so-called medical advances, and it contrasts them with time-tested, safe, drug-free alternatives to drugs and how to use these safe alternatives, time-tested, for prevention and wellness optimization.
So Big Pharma, the use of that term right off the bat indicates you're not a big fan of the current status of the pharmaceutical industry in America.
They have, it would appear as if they have complete control over what doctors are taught in medical schools. I document that pretty clearly in the book. Most medical schools in the country are receiving over $10 million a year from Big Pharma donations, and they use that to conduct quote-unquote unbiased research. But the main point, though, that I really was trying to get through with Wellness Uprising is whether readers use this information to treat themselves, and many people will feel confident to do that, but they can also use it to empower themselves to ask their doctors good questions. That becomes a win-win because good questions will encourage their doctor to come up with better answers. Better answers will give the patient more confidence that the remedy will work, which makes it more likely that it will work. So educated patients create a win-win-win.
How did you get into natural foods and health concerns in the first place?
That's a great question, and a lot of people ask me that.
Especially coming from Long Island. We just established you and I grew up about half a mile apart.
I guess 35 or 40 years ago, it just occurred to me that some of what the basis of some of our modern thinking really was brand new and untested. And it didn't necessarily jive with what people had done for many, many centuries. So when people look at modern health inventions, they really have to ask themselves, are they tested? And not just for 3 years or 40 years or but more like 300 or 400 years. Do they stand the test of time? And that fascinated me.
The concept of stuff that's still around, that is still in use and still helping people find their way to wellness.
Well, typically 1,000 years ago, if a farming method didn't work, the village starved to death, and that farming method wouldn't be passed on. So the farming methods that are around were the winners, so to speak. And anything that's you know, and typically what I understand is in ancient China, the doctor didn't get paid unless the patient got well. So again, the methods that are around from ancient China are ones that worked.
Do you ever go to doctors?
I don't generally have to go to a doctor very often. I'll go to a doctor if I feel I need one. And chapter 3 in the book actually kind of goes into 7 levels of healing and when it's appropriate to see a doctor. But generally, I think for most conditions, it's generally better to try natural remedies first. You know, for acute trauma like a car accident, there's never been anything better than Western medicine. Emergency room doctors and surgeons clearly can save lives. But for long-term care of a chronic condition, whatever treatments a Western doctor is likely to employ will involve long-term use of drugs and that have side effects, and the doctor may or may not fully understand those side effects.
I'm curious to know if at any point in your life, even as a kid, you took drugs, took any antibiotics, took stuff to make the itch go away when you had chicken pox or anything like that?
Until I was 18 or 20 years old, I probably went to a doctor as often as the average, you know, kid growing up in America did. And after that point, I've generally been fortunate enough to be able to figure out most of these things on my own.
So chapter 1, the constant touting of new health breakthroughs. We do hear these a lot. In fact, I remember when I was working in promotions and television, we retitled the segment Medical Breakthroughs because we wanted to make sure that we were getting it off, that there was a breakthrough every time there was. You take these apparently not with a grain of salt, but it looks like a truckload of salt.
Well, I actually think that a crucial step to improving your health is to strengthen your resistance against the onslaught of drug company advertising. They'll go to almost any lengths to convince you to be a lifetime customer for their toxic drugs.
That's a pretty sharp charge. I mean, toxic drugs, I noticed that term is used right there in the dedication of your book, let alone deeper into the text of it. So why do you say toxic?
Well, the buildup of the bottom line is most of them are toxic. I mean, if taken to, like for instance, just one example would be antacids. When they first became popular, I'm not talking about Rolaids and minerals and things like that, but some of the more heavy-duty prescription antacids, it was well known that they were prescribed for very limited times, 4 to 6 weeks at a time, because there were specific dangers that were associated with them. Now people are on those things for a decade or more, and doctors don't think twice about it. That's not what they were created for.
That is one of your big arguments, it appears, from the book, is that it's not just, okay, if you need the medication to get well, you take the medication to get well, but it becomes an ongoing process.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, today, I mean, you know, as you said, most of us are convinced that new automatically means better. And certainly some medical technologies are absolutely amazing. Replacement knees and hips provide decades of pain-free mobility for people that would otherwise be healthy. But, I mean, the list of side effects on the drugs that are advertised on the TV news have such a long, it's such a long list, it's almost laughable. Some of these side effects, they even say including death, that I think most sane people have to wonder or have to be thinking that there's got to be a better, more time-tested way.
And, of course, all those ads finish up the disclaimer section with ask your doctor if blankety-blank is right for you.
Exactly.
And, well, it's up to you and the doctor to figure out, I guess. But the point that Rob Pell is making in his book, Wellness Uprising, is you can take more control over your own health. Your health in your hands is the subtitle of the book. Rob Pell runs Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange right after this break. We'll come back with Rob Pell, Wellness Uprising, and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our topic today is health, how you can take control of your own health. There's a new book out by Rob Pell, who is the owner and operator with his wife Kate of Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass. Therefore, he does not claim to be a doctor. His book is called Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about approaches to health that don't necessarily involve doctors and drugs. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760 for questions, comments, or comparison notes. You can also join us by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook. We took a picture of Rob just before he sat down to business here a few minutes ago. So the reference in Chapter 1, which talks about the constant touting of medical breakthroughs, you have a reference there between the battle between old normal and new normal. What are you talking about there?
Well, Jeffrey, before the show, we were talking about how we kind of grew up in the same place at the same time. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, I don't think that you or I knew anyone who was allergic to peanuts, who couldn't run around all day due to asthma, or even knew a kid who had type 2 diabetes. I mean, these are all part of the new normal, we'll say. The old normal was, hey, you're healthy all day and you have fun and you run around and you play with the other kids. I mean, now most schools have peanut-free zones. Every state in the country allows kids to bring their own inhalers and self-administer. I mean, and we're all convinced that if we take enough pharmaceuticals, we can adapt to our new normal lifestyle. And to me, that's just, it doesn't jive with what people did for many, many, many years, we'll say thousands of years.
I'm curious then about the scope of the book, whether you expanded into areas like pesticides and just environmental things, because a lot of the people who look at things like the new allergies and the things that we do accept as part of the new normal might be caused by stuff that's just out there in the environment that didn't used to be there.
I completely agree with that. And I have two chapters in the book, one specifically on organic farming and organic foods and the advantages, and the fact that that's actually a time-tested method of growing. And also there's a chapter on GMOs that I think is reasonably fair. Many might not think that, but so there are chapters on that. One point that I would like to make that a lot of people don't realize is that the word doctor comes from the Latin word for teacher. Doctors should be teaching about optimizing health and preventing disease rather than simply treating disease after the fact with those toxic medications. Nationally, Dr. Oz, Dr. Mercola, Dr. Andrew Weil are helping to improve the health of millions through their teachings. Locally, Dr. Robin Miller is doing much of the same with her TV appearances and newspaper articles. But I think doctors first and foremost should be teaching about prevention and secondarily treating disease kind of after the fact.
You just cited Dr. Oz, who's in for a bit of criticism of late because analysis indicated like 60% of the stuff that he touts is not particularly effective. Any particular concerns there with the people who get out in front of stuff and say, hey, this could work for you, and then you find out later, well, not so much.
Quite frankly, I think that Dr. Oz, I think, first of all, I think his intention is great. I think he's helped a lot of people. I think he's spent way, way too much time on weight loss products and the latest, greatest belly fat busters. I mean, that's just, you know, obviously it sells and people want to hear about that stuff, but I think he would do really well just to drop the weight loss stuff and stick more with help more core health issues.
Grab your headphones. We've got some calls from you. Let's start with Scott in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell. His book is Wellness Uprising. Hi, Scott.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Your guest started off by trying to show our flaws in modern thinking. But then he said something that made me want to point out the flaw in his own argument. And that was that if something exists for hundreds of years, it must work. And so he said, well, if a Chinese doctor gives you something and you don't get better, he's going to be out of business. But the problem with that thinking is that most of the things that we suffer from go away by themselves. So if you have a backache, in a couple of weeks, it goes away. If you have a cold or the flu or you have and aches and pains or headache, they tend to go away by themselves. So if you go to the Chinese doctor or whoever, and he says, it could be anything. He could say, put this talisman on your front door, and your backache will start to get better in about 2 weeks. And lo and behold, you go back, and you say, I'm actually starting to feel better. Something like that could exist in the culture for hundreds of years because it's not hurting you, and whatever you had is going to go away. So there's probably a large number of Chinese medicines that don't hurt you, but they probably are not helping you. And a very good example is things to improve sexual performance, like grinding up tiger's paws, which probably don't do anything.
And rhinoceros horn.
Except to decimate the tiger population. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that in itself is a flawed way of thinking about the effectiveness of medications.
All right. Thanks for that, Scott. Appreciate it. And he's got a point there. I mean, a lot of things do go away by themselves. I remember reading in the past about people who sold patent medicines. People believe that their products work because the conditions would go away.
No, absolutely. He makes a very good point. And I think that if we really go back to the Hippocratic Oath, you know, Hippocrates is considered the father of, I guess, Western medicine. One of the main tenets that he proposed was first, do no harm. So if a doctor is going to tell you to put a talisman on your door or any other kind of, we'll call it maybe silly or extreme example, the fact is there is no harm from that and time is going by and the person is healing themselves on their own. Okay, at least no harm has been done. I wouldn't say the same thing can be said for many of the toxic medications that a doctor immediately writes within 5 minutes of walking into his office today.
It's just a pill-based system.
It's four billion prescriptions are written in the United States every year. Somebody's writing those prescriptions, and I don't believe it's acupuncturists and it's not naturopaths generally. These are the people who actually believe that you do get better on your own if given enough time.
So 4 billion would be what? That's about 12 prescriptions for every man, woman, and child?
I think roughly 13, and by the time you're a senior citizen, I think it's up to about 28.
Let's take another call. We have Jill in Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell. His book is Wellness Uprising.
Yes, well, I have an experience. I had a rash on my chest area, and I went to the Ashland Providence Clinic down here in Ashland and saw the first doctor and misdiagnosed. She ordered this very expensive medicine that cost hundreds of dollars, and it only irritated the rash, so I switched to another doctor at the same Ashland Providence Clinic, and she put me on prednisone, and that didn't work. So finally, I threw my hands up with a lot of them, and I guess that's why they call it practice. And I cleared it up myself with white vinegar and baby powder.
And it's gone? The rash is gone?
It's gone.
Wow, that's quite an experience. And Jill, how long did the whole process take from first?
And they sent me a bill for $891. $891.
Right. Not an unusual story. Yeah. Thanks for that, Jill. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Thoughts, Rob?
Well, I think that many of our modern remedies are, I'll call them, obscenely expensive. And, I think it comes down to the fact that Big Pharma contributes a lot of money to the medical schools. And, you know, the American Medical Student Association has studied many of the medical schools around the country and found that, I think it's 154 out of 158 of them allow drug company sales reps on the campuses, and they affect the curriculum. There's no doubt about it. And there's profit that needs to be made for those companies' stockholders. They're not going to really be telling you too much about white vinegar remedies.
When you look at the periods of medicine, and you mentioned Chinese medicine a few times and things that survived for hundreds of years, is there a period in Western medicine that you think things were right? I mean, are there medicines that you think are good?
Well, you know, this can be the start of the period that could be really right. But there really needs to be a blend between, and you need to know the difference of when to shop for, we'll call it emergency medicine. And, you know, we need to know when we've exhausted what is really the natural remedies first. I mean, I think from preschool to elementary school through medical school and beyond, real national health care reform would actively encourage a change in our thinking from relying on after-the-fact expensive high-risk treatments like drugs and surgeries to low-cost, time-tested natural remedies for preventing illness. However, when some of these natural remedies, these low-cost remedies, fail to work or just don't work for you, there's a time when you may need to have more mainstream medical intervention. Knowing when that point is really part of being an educated consumer.
Rob Pell is the co-owner with wife Kate of Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass, the author of a book called Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. Clearly no fan of doctors or big pharmaceuticals. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue the discussion. Add to it yourself at 800-838-3760 throughout our listening area, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So where do you come down on vaccines, for example?
I think there's two major issues right now that we really need to look at intelligently about vaccines. Number one is the fact that most of them still contain mercury, even though many have claimed to take them out. And I think that mercury is highly, highly toxic, especially for the male of the human species, because I guess the testosterone and the mercury do not do nice things to our bodies working together. So the fact that mercury can be, here's the thing is, the fact that most people might not be affected negatively by the mercury does not mean that many people are still very drastically negatively affected. So the first thing is, you know, are the vaccines thimerosal-free? That would be number one concern. Number two concern, there are, and I document it in the book pretty clearly, there are many, many instances where vaccines have, around the United States, have just utterly failed. In New Jersey in 2009, I think there was an outbreak of 1,000 people that got the mumps, and public health studied it. 77% of those people were fully vaccinated. So, you know, and that's not the only example. I mean, I have other examples in the book. So there's questions really about whether or not they work well or work as touted. And there's also very definite unanswered questions. And we need to have that discussion as a country and with your doctor. You need to have that discussion. And I would hope that doctors would be open to having that, and they would be willing to show us the proof that, number one, vaccines are thimerosal-free, and number two, that they actually do work as presented.
I mean, there have been successes in vaccines. I mean, Edward Jenner with the cowpox vaccine that pretty much eradicated smallpox over the years.
Well, you know, there's, if you want to really look at the study, that what I would consider to be the facts, some of those successes are not really as our doctors have told us. I mean, for instance, with pertussis and measles, from about 1850 until those vaccines were widely used in the 1950s or so, those diseases went down on their own by about 97% before the vaccines. And that's documented in the book, and it's also documented in a brilliant book Let's see if I have that in front of me.
Yeah, I'm curious to know the source on that one.
I don't. Oh, sure. It's a book written by Suzanne Humphreys, MD, and her book is called Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. And she has 50 graphs in that book that have public health records, and it's fascinating. So we really need, again, we need to have that discussion. We need to document our sources. And one interesting point is I gave a manuscript, an early manuscript of my book to one of the local MDs who was looking at it, and he had intelligent comments about every chapter. He had questions, he had comments, every chapter except the vaccine chapter. He didn't have a single thing to ask me. He didn't have a single thing to add or say. He just said that he really was reluctant to wholeheartedly endorse my book because the vaccine chapter didn't jive with his beliefs, but he didn't have a single specific question or comment.
Let us take some more calls. We have Pam and Dexter on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell, the author of Wellness Uprising. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Well, I'm sitting here perusing my emails and listening to the show and reading about GMOs, and I guess the German Environment Ministry just is seeking an unconditional GMO ban, and I'm just wondering what your guest thinks of GMOs. I'm concerned about the harm they do to the planet as well as to the people and the farm animals. And it seems like Monsanto has a grip on our legislators and huge amounts of money to, you know, squash any efforts to at least label GMOs. And then I've heard recently that the TPP would ban allowing us to even have a law requiring labels for GMOs. So I'll listen on the radio, and thanks for the show.
All right, thanks for the call, Pam. Appreciate that. You do get to GMOs in Chapter 5 of Wellness Uprising.
Chapter 5, and I was a very, very big supporter of the label GMO bill. I actually sponsored radio and TV ads for it, and I did everything that I reasonably felt I could. I think that at some point, I really hope that we'll call it the complete truth or unbiased science about GMO becomes made public, because I think that that's really heading us in a very, very wrong direction as far as the basis of our nutrition, which is really the basis of our health.
What are the basic concerns? I mean, that we end up doing things to the plants that the plants can't recover from, that we do things to our bodies that we can't recover from, both, neither?
Well, the fact is there's combinations of proteins that our bodies have never seen before. You know, when they go and splice genes from a salmon and a tomato to come up with a tomato that can withstand frost better, there's now foreign substances that our body has to deal with that our immune system may very well look at it as foreign substances, which then creates a lot of inflammation. Our immune systems are now in hyperdrive, which could be contributing to increased asthma or increased rheumatoid arthritis or increased. But the point is that we just haven't had any testing. The government has allowed the GMO manufacturers to call them safe and to self-monitor. And there's been no unbiased long-term studies in the United States about the health effects of GMOs. We need those studies.
And that is kind of the nature of the American regulatory system, though, when you get right down to it, with pharmaceuticals as well. I mean, where the people who are making the products get to do all the testing.
There's a lot in my book about it. And, you know, every chapter in the book, I go into whether it's about the statin drugs, whether it's about blood pressure medications, whether it's about antidepressants or sleep aids. I pretty clearly talk about the common drugs, how well they work or don't work, but more importantly, their side effects, and then contrast that with the natural remedies that very often work as well, sometimes work better, but getting back to an earlier comment, at least they do no harm.
Let us take another call. We have Maria in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell. His book is Wellness Uprising.
Hi, thank you so much for your time today. I have a question regarding in the event that an individual has to take a pharmaceutical drug, do you think that there's a difference between the generic version or the original version?
You know, I appreciate that question, and I am clearly not well-versed in the drug world, and I probably know no more than you know, and it might be what I found, the people that really seem to know the most about drugs are not the doctors at all, but they are the pharmacists. I would ask your pharmacist that question.
Thanks for the question, Maria. Appreciate that. So I haven't even gotten to the four pillars of health as described in Chapter 1 of the book. Can you walk us through those?
Well, I think for forever, I mean, proper nutrition, eating food from rich soil, is probably number one. Drinking unchlorinated water, chlorine-free water. No animal naturally drinks chlorinated water. Chlorine is a toxin. It's not good for us. It's very important to keep to kill microbes in the water to prevent dysentery and typhoid and things like that. But you really want to filter your water and filter your chlorine out before you eat it. Good quality sleep, drug-free, safe, sound sleep, an absolute necessity. You can't get by without it. And some kind of moderate exercise. And that doesn't mean you've got to do some kind of crazy video set that you buy on TV. It doesn't mean you have to join a health club. But at least walking. I think that if the human body was, if we were given an owner's manual for our bodies at birth, I think walking would probably be in the maintenance, would be a maintenance activity for virtually every system in our body.
So the four pillars: good food, moderate exercise, pure water, and deep sleep. The pillars upon which rest the book, Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. More with Rob Pell, and we'll take more of your calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about health and wellness with Rob Pell, who is the owner and operator with his wife Kate of Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass. He writes health and wellness columns for print and online media. He went bigger recently with a book called Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. Rob is no particular fan of doctors or big pharmaceuticals. That should be said at the outset. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about approaches to health and wellness. 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. 800-838-3760 for questions or comments. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell.
Thank you, sir. And Rob, I'd like to first of all, commend you and thank you. Now, if I give you a little bit of background, you know, I'm not a guy with a lot of resources, so there's a lot of things that I am thankful for you guys who do have the resources and are able to put this information out. You see, I'm on the ground level. I've had so many injuries. I've had 3 back surgeries, 2 knee surgeries. I can go on. But the first time they prescribed a drug, and they gave me Ambien to help me sleep, but the other one was Lyrica. And what I found is after I took that drug, and I actually told my doctor after about 2 weeks worth of taking it, I'm sorry, I can't take this anymore. It literally changed the way I thought. Now, when I say this, I have another point to make after this, but what I'm saying is that drug changed the way my brain functioned, and I didn't appreciate that. And at the same time, I was taking morphine for over 6 years. Had huge amounts of, I can't remember, but here's my point. I decided to get off of it. I was listening to people like yourself. And I realized that I had to clean my body out of this sugar honey iced tea that they've been feeding me because it affected my testosterone level, and I thank you for pointing that out. And it changed my whole functionality. Now, my second point is I was a campground host for about 4 years, and I got to meet people living up here in the Willamette National Forest, hosting some campgrounds up there. I got to meet individuals that would go out and stack rocks in the morning at 5 o'clock, and they'd sit there and they would absorb. They'd say, man, we're sitting here next to this energy. I was like, what the heck are you talking about? And then they'd invite me to have some food with them. Now, my point, my brother, and I want to, again, tell you, thank you very much, because you know what? Those brothers and sisters that came across in wagons and the brothers and sisters who sat down the fire and smoked the peace pipe, they understood what to eat and how to eat it and when to eat it and what was good for the body. So I want to just say I thank you and I commend you for this book. I'm going to go look for it. I'm going to read it. But I am on the ground level of, you know what, this propaganda that they feed us with all this drugs and then Monsanto's. And another question I guess I would ask you is, what do you think about geoengineering? And I'm going to leave it with that. And
right.
I thank you, my friend.
Joe, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate the call, and I appreciate your sharing your stories. And I just want to mention, you wanted to get the book. It is available on Amazon. It is available. The book has its own website called wellnessuprisingbook.com. In Ashland, it's available at the Ashland Community Food Store. And in Grants Pass, it's available at Sunshine Natural Foods and Oregon Books. But, you know, one point I want to make, and, you know, you thank me for putting the book together and doing all the research. And I stand by any of the research that I came through in that book. And I can tell you that there were ideas and concepts I had that I couldn't put in the book because I couldn't find data to back up what my hypotheses were in some cases. Anything that's in the book, though, is backed up by sound science. But what I will mention is that the things that I say and the things I write about go way beyond my own research. I have a small health food store in Grants Pass, and I'll tell you, when dozens or hundreds or in some cases thousands of people give me similar stories, and in some cases they may be stories like the ones you just told, you know what? I'm confident, or I become confident, that those stories are real. And I'm at that point, I'm willing to share them. And that's, I think, what many of us do, is by sharing the truth and sharing a lot of our stories with others, that's how the truth gets out. That's why how we can, you know, have a wellness uprising. And I encourage anyone who reads my book, to share whatever they learn, whatever they think is valuable.
Another call here from Pat in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell. His book is Wellness Uprising.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'd like to follow up on a previous and very interesting question and answer from a caller about GMOs. You expressed, I think the caller expressed, some hesitancy about some of the unknowns with GMOs. So what I'd like to ask is that, you know, in the complete absence, as far as I've ever heard, of any peer-reviewed scientific study that shows health problems due to GMOs in human beings, are you willing to give up, you know, the very real potential for benefits? You know, golden rice, very basic genetically modified rice, could prevent thousands of child deaths a year in the third world. There's GMO products that I believe are being used right now in the United States that greatly reduce pesticide loads and help the environment because you don't have to spray them quite so much. Or is it worth giving that up or pushing that back to wait for further testing because we have some bad feelings about it?
All right. Interesting questions. Thanks for those, Pat. And I just recently read an article from months ago in The New Yorker asking some of the same questions about golden rice, that the enriching process is cheap and easy to do and provides nutrients that rice does not naturally provide, but it's banned in a lot of countries.
I think it's a great question. I mean, I think what it comes down to is my support of what I would call the precautionary principle, where the people that are responsible for bringing new technology to the fore, I think, are the ones who are responsible to prove that it's safe, rather than the rest of us having to prove that it's unsafe.
So the burden of proof on the bringer of the new technology.
That's what I believe. And certainly the person that's making enough money with the new technology to afford to do tests, which, you know, leads us to another possible issue. But, you know, my point is that it could be 10, 20, 30, 50 years before we really know that much about these things, much in the same way that DDT was considered completely safe in the 40s. And Monsanto was one of the first manufacturers of DDT. We were told that was safe. And then we found out later that it was an environmental disaster. Okay, how long do we have to wait to find out the truth about these things? And I would say that if GMOs were labeled, people like the last caller could eat GMOs and have his family eat GMOs and have his children and grandchildren eat GMOs, and we'll check in with them in 10 or 20 or 30 years. And other people who don't want to eat GMOs would be free to do that. So I would encourage labeling, and people like the last caller who want to support the alleged benefits, he can feel free to do that.
Let's take another call. Here is Al in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask your guest with regard to finding and treating stuff like cholesterol, blood pressure, sugar levels, and stuff like that. He'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Al.
Al, I would encourage you, and I'm not saying this for the monetary benefit. I would encourage you to read my book, because I have a lot of details in there, and you know the whole issue of cholesterol is just, it's fascinating. And
you say it can be good for you in the book. I mean, cholesterol.
Well,
has
cholesterol. Every cell membrane in our body is made of cholesterol. Our hormones are all medical. Without cholesterol, we're all dead. We cholesterol is a necessary part of every cell on the planet. So cholesterol is an important aspect of our health. But, you know, it's been actually proven. Studies at Harvard have done it. It's been written about in the New England Journal of Medicine, the fact that actually inflammation markers in our body or inflammation factors are actually more predictive of heart attack and heart problems than cholesterol. I learned that from a local MD almost 20 years ago, so it's not something new. And when you go for a cholesterol test, you should be asking your doctor, in my opinion, for a C-reactive protein test, CRP. It adds about $20 to the test, and that actually is more important. Knowing the inflammation level and the inflammation of the arterial linings is actually what causes the cholesterol to gather there. It's almost like if you have red chap lips and you use lip balm or chapstick to soothe your lips, your body either sends the cholesterol to the inflamed area or it accumulates there because of the inflammation. And your doctor should know that, because some do. And again, those tests have been done, and it's a very easy thing to add on to your blood test. That's called a CRP, C-reactive protein test. It'll tell your inflammation levels, and that's very, very important. I go into that in the book.
A couple of calls that essentially amount to emails because the questions were dropped off. Peter in Ashland wants to know what you think about, in the larger discussion about vaccines, specifically about the HPV vaccine for young girls, the human papillomavirus, the idea being that you can prevent cervical cancer with this vaccine.
Well, you know, I'm not a vaccine expert, although I have studied them pretty thoroughly. That seems to be one that is just really has the potential to be a real nightmare for many people. And I really question whether or not it's at this point doing far more harm than good.
Nightmare in what sense?
There are very credible stories of young girls whose lives have been really, really, her health have been damaged and lives have been ruined by that vaccine, but almost immediate reactions too. So, you know, I don't know what percentage are harmed by it. I don't know what percentage are helped by it, but there are many people who I believe the very credible reports of people that have been really damaged by that vaccine.
Question about a particular supplement. Leo and Eugene wants to know about colloidal silver. His skin cleared with it. We have seen stories of people who essentially turned blue from ingesting too much colloidal silver. But what do you think about that particular product?
Well, colloidal silver was around before antibiotics. It was used as antibiotics. And interesting, too, it doesn't just work against bacteria like antibiotics do. It also works against viruses. I find colloidal silver is, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I think it's excellent for eye infections, sinus infections, ear infections, things like that. Topical colloidal silver gels, they're using them in hospital operating rooms now. So, you know, I mean, even modern mainstream medical has now gone back to where they were 100 years ago with colloidal silver. So the question is which product and how much to use and all that. And those are details that your local health food store owner could probably supply you with.
If I can pull a bunch of threads together here, it seems like your complaint about some of the foods we eat that are not particularly natural, about GMOs, your complaints about pharmaceuticals is that they may be based upon substances that at one time were considered good for us, but in combinations that you have doubts about.
Well, yeah, and absolutely, Jeffrey. I mean, very well said. And the combinations, the amounts, the frequency. I mean, when you're supposed to, you know, the fact that people sometimes go from they're sick four or five times a winter and take antibiotics each time. And many doctors, I can tell you, because I people come into my store, many doctors do not even in this day and age, do not tell people to take probiotics after they take antibiotics to regenerate a healthy gut. There are a lot of doctors now who finally do that. But I can tell you 10, 12 years ago, very few did. And there are still some that failed to do that.
Another call here from John in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Pell, the author of Wellness Uprising.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say a few things about your guest comments about vaccines. I generally agree with everything he was saying regards to most things, but on the vaccine issue, I take exception. Vaccines have been phenomenally successful throughout the world, especially the measles one that you mentioned. I'm looking at a graph right now just of what happened after the measles vaccine was introduced in 1963, 1964, and we used to have about 6,000 deaths per year in the U.S. alone, and that dropped to virtually zero in the years after the vaccine, and deaths were not going down, they were going up. Certainly, if you look back centuries, deaths from diseases like measles went down steadily, but that was just because of the general improvement of medicine overall. But anyway,
moderate sanitation as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that it is crystal clear with millions and millions of people being studied, the vaccines are dramatically effective. They're not a foolproof solution. Certainly, there's side effects from them, and some people react very badly to them. But overall, they're dramatically successful, and there's simply no reason to debate that. The data is crystal clear on that. So,
all right, John, thank you for that. I very much appreciate it.
I really appreciate that call, and the only real criticism I have is your last statement that there's no reason to debate it. Okay, that's the problem we're having with the vaccine discussion right now, is that the fact people are sure that they're 100% right. You actually at least acknowledge the fact that they can cause some harm. I mean, okay, to what degree? Well, let's actually look at that. I mean, the vaccine manufacturers are absolved of responsibility. You can't even sue them if there's a problem. I can think of no other for-profit business that is not forced to be responsible for their actions.
Well, not the first time we've talked about vaccines, not the last time, certainly. A lot more to the book, Wellness Uprising, Your Health in Your Hands. Rob Pell is the co-owner, again, of Sunshine Natural Foods in Grants Pass with his wife, Kate, and the author of the book. Rob, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.